We're learning a Maimar, a Hasidic discourse by the Rebbe Rashab, the fifth Rebbe of Chabad. This discourse is based on one verse, Parshas Vayeschanan. And you should know today, and you should put in your heart, that God is the Lord. Avaye Elokim, the name with four letters is the Lord, whatever, etc. So we learned basically one page, and the Rebbe really got deep into understanding what's light, what's vessel, many mystical concepts that the Rebbe is going to explain very, very much throughout the Maimar. But basically, the question is, wait a second. You're telling me God is the Lord. Four-letter name, more than four-letter name, etc. It's the same thing, but it's not. It doesn't really look the same thing. Why? Because one is the source, one of these names is the source of mercy. The other name is the source of severity. And the quote-unquote, the job of each one of these names is different. One is reveal, and the other one is concealment. And even if you're going to tell me that there's a double job, so to speak, of revealing and concealment, however, it's not a concealment of the whole thing. It's something that the Rebbe called chitzonius. Chitzonius means the most external parts. In general, in Jewish mysticism, you have two expressions. One is called pnimius. Pnimius means the most internal thing. And the other one is called chitzonius, which means, again, the most external part. What's the difference? How do you see this? Imagine you have to talk to a small child about what's a bank. The child asks, what's a bank? So you can say, a bank is a place where people put money and take money out. That's a bank. That's simple. Is it true? Yes, it is. That's what happens in a bank. That's one of the things that happens in a bank. It's much more complex, of course. I'm not an economics expert, etc. It's much more complex, but it's true. People put money, people take out money. But it's just like a shell, like an external shell of what really goes on in a bank. But for the child, for the moment, it's okay. It's enough. He sees people coming in and out, people coming in with money, taking out money, whatever, and it's okay, it's enough. Then when he grows, he's going to see that there's a lot more behind it. Okay, this information, so to speak, is called chitzonius. It's called the external part of what a bank really is. Again, it is true, it's not false. A bank is not a place where they sell, I don't know, shoes. No, usually banks don't sell shoes. So if you say, no, it's a place for shoes, so you're lying. I'm sorry, it's wrong. But a bank puts money, takes out money, etc. Whatever they do with the money, I don't know, but they do something, and they just keep it, store it, etc., etc. So that's called chitzonius haseichel, the most external part of the intellect. When a person grows in knowledge, etc., he can come from the external part of the intellect to grasp the most internal part of the intellect. Again, the child grows and he learns economy, and he's going to say, yeah, my mother was right. Bank is a place where people put money, take out money, but the bank uses the money and the bank invests, and there are other things you can do, etc., etc. Okay, but it was true. Okay, so let's continue. We're basically in the page 46, Memvov, towards the end of the page, but not really in the end of the page. We're going to start where it says Nimtza. The line starts Va'ifol Be'ilamois. Va'ifol Be'ilamois. Nimtza. Nimtza Muvan. Now we can understand the Shnei Ememes. There are two things that are actually true. Shem Malimim Al Etzema Or, the Kalim, these words, so to speak, that the mother, the father told the child, the bank is a place where you put money and take out money. That itself, actually, it's a concealment of the real definition of a bank, which is much more complex, but the child can't get it. So we just say, yeah, you know, put and take out money. That's a concealment on what we call etzema or, the real essence of the light, quote unquote, the real definition of a bank, which is really complex. However, at the same time, megalim es chitzonius or, your words are revealing the most external part of the light. Yeah, you're really actually answering the question. And it's true. You put and take out money. And actually, these two movements, so to speak, these two functions that the kelim, the vessels have, they depend one on the other. Through the fact that the vessels conceal the essence of the light, they actually reveal the most external part of the light. Like, go ask a person that really knows economics, really is into it, and you tell him, what's a bank? The guy is not even thinking about putting and taking out money. It's like such a simple thing. Put the money under your bed. I don't know. Put the money somewhere else. Why do you have to go to a bank to put money? It's like, I don't know. That's not what a bank is. Ah, because you really know about it. So you really know, and therefore the bank is much more complex. So that's what it means in this line. Because you're actually concealing the essence, then you can reveal the external part. But as all the time that the external part is revealed, the essence is concealed. They depend one thing on the other. You can't have both things at the same time. Unless you say Moshiach, etc. Okay, very nice. We're not talking about that right now. V'raya al-dem, what's the proof of this idea that I just mentioned, that because of the concealment of the essence, then you can reveal the external part? V'raya al-dem, she'akeli mena megalem etzma or. What's the proof that the vessels do not reveal the essence of the light? Mi'oisi isadibur. He's going to bring the example that I just mentioned, but in a nicer way. You can prove this from the letters of speech. The words of speech that actually reveal a concept, intellect, they only reveal the external part of the concept, and not the internal part. Just as we find in the great court of the Jewish people, Sanhedrin, the judges, whatever, they would discuss all the night, because they would forget the reasons that they gave. So if at the next day they had to give the solution, so to speak, to a problem, they need to really be into it. And they would argue one back and forth the whole night. And at the next day, they would give the solution, the end, so to speak, of the discussion. Even though that they were two scribes, that they would actually write the reasons why each judge would give their verdict. Rashi explains, again, what's the question? The question is like this. You have a bunch of people arguing, 70, at most 70 people arguing whether this guy, we have to kill him or not. Is it guilty or not? Okay, they arguing the whole night. And there were scribes actually writing. One judge would say, we have to kill him because of this reason, because this verse says this. And the other one would write, this verse is that. And the other one would write, this verse is that. And whatever. Suppose, not really real, but suppose 70 reasons why some guys say yes, some guys say no, kill him, save him, whatever. And there were scribes. And the scribes would write down what each one said. So on the next day, when they would actually vote, you have to raise your hand and say, do we kill him? Yes, no. So you count hands, and that's it. That's the verdict. And if you have doubts whether one of the rabbis changed his mind, so to speak, hey, what's going on? The whole night you were saying yes, and now you say no. What happened? Go to the scribes. You see, you said yes, and now you're saying no. So Rashi explains what's going on over here. Why do we say that they would argue the whole night? Because they would forget their reasons. What do you mean forget the reason? The scribe just tells you what you forgot, quote unquote. And Rashi explains a very interesting idea. Savanna de Liboy, the most profound thoughts of your heart, you can't write them. It's impossible. Even though the scribe can write what the rabbi said, the judge said blah, 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 but you can't really write what he's thinking about. Impossible. I know. That means דעמית, איס פנימיוס כוונס אמינה, יכולים לגלס ביועיסי אוהיס. כי אם חיצייניוס אלבד. The most in the innermost intention that these judges had, they could not reveal it in letters, in words. Rather, they would only reveal the most external part of it. Why did the Rebbe bring this example, even though there are easier examples? Because the Rebbe wants to bring an example from the Talmud itself. Like from the most revealed part of the Torah, you can see and learn to the most innermost part of the Torah. To Kabbalah, whatever, Hasidus. So he just brought an example that proves that you only share in words the most external parts of things. You can't share the most internal parts. The same thing we're going to understand in these vessels above, spiritual things. They only reveal the most external part of the light. And the most... the innermost and essence, most essential part of the light is actually concealed within them. I'm going to bring another example. From the powers of the soul. Parentheses, it's not in the Maimar, I'm just adding this to understand it. One of the most amazing things in Hasidus, in Hasidic thought, is that they show how every single concept can be applied and can be actually expressed and applied in the soul. In the soul. The verse says, in Iyov, in Job, whatever, Mivsari Chazelaka, from my flesh I will perceive godliness. And there are many explanations, but the Hasidic explanation in the context that we're learning is from understanding the interaction between the soul and the body, the different parts of the soul, the structure, etc., I will understand how God actually interacts with the world. That's what the Rebbe is doing right now. He's going to do right now. So again, we close parentheses. We're going to understand this thing of the vessels hiding and revealing from the strengths of the soul, different attributes of the soul that they get invested in the members, limbs, etc., of the body. Now we go to the next page. Like, for instance, the power of intellect, it gets invested in the brain, like the gray matter, in the head to think. And the strength, the power of seeing in the eyes to see, etc. Hare yesh koyach haseichel benefesh, koydin shemislavesh bemoyach. There's a power of thinking in the soul before it gets actually invested in the brain. There's the power of seeing even before it gets invested in the eye. And there, in the soul itself, these powers and all the other powers also are actually in a much higher way, form, so to speak, than the way they are when they are invested in the limbs, in the members. Like the soul really sees, the soul really thinks, and then when it gets invested in the body, sees and thinks, but it's not the same thing. It's not the same. It's much more coarse, so to speak, because of the body. To the point, I'm adding this, but I think it's important to understand, to the point that a person, if he doesn't have good eyes, he's not going to see. But the problem is not on the soul, the problem is in the body. To the point that when this person has a child, the child sees. Hey, but if the father doesn't see, why does the child see? The child cannot be better than the father because the child is a consequence of the father. So the answer is, wait a second, the father has a soul, the soul is complete, perfect, no problem, but the eyes of the father doesn't work. I'm sorry, they don't work. Okay, so he doesn't see. The power of the soul does not get invested in the body of this father, but in the body of the soul, of the son, yes. So the son sees. Okay. Mikol Makim, however, Ein koyach ha-ra'iya shebenefesh poyel az liris davar azulas. Even though we're saying that the power of seeing of the soul is much in a much higher way, when the soul is not invested in the body, however, this power of seeing does not act, so to speak, doesn't have any effect if he's not in the body, if the soul is not in the body, I'm sorry, you're not seeing really anything. It doesn't really get the action, the effect of seeing, just as it works right now when the soul is in the body. So we're saying there's something abstract called the power of seeing, the power of thinking. Where does it come from? From the soul. You see a dead body, has a brain, and has eyes, and it doesn't think and it doesn't see. I'm sorry, no soul. So when does he think and see? When the soul is inside. But again, what the Rebbe is mentioning is that even though when the power of seeing, thinking, etc. is within the soul, without getting invested in the body, they are in a higher way, but they can't work. They don't have an effect. The same thing happens with the power of thinking. It does not affect, it doesn't act, work, etc. The way it works when it's invested in the brain. Even though when it's not in the brain, it's actually higher. Yeah, but when it's in the brain, it actually works. Okay. Ella, the hiyanai senes. Why is that? The reason is what I just explained, saying the Rebbe. Mipneshan nefesh koidim islav shusoy baguf. Because with the soul, before it gets invested in the body, as koyach haseichel sheboy, uvechinas oir atzmi. This power of thinking of the soul before it gets invested in the body, it's in an essential light mode, so to speak. She'einei be'erech le'askil askalus ka'eile, she'maskil acharkach, she'hem askalus gashmius bichlal. When it's passing by Geshem, this is a very interesting line. What's the difference between, I'll translate in a second, what's the difference between the power of the soul, of thinking of the soul with the body, or without the body? What difference does it make? You're just telling me, with the body, it works. Without the body, it doesn't affect, it doesn't work. What's the difference? So again, when it's before getting into the body, thinks very lofty and abstract things, like godly things and very nice things, but it doesn't affect the world. It doesn't make any difference in the world. What the soul's thinking, Gan Eden in paradise, very nice, it doesn't affect the world. When it's in the body, it affects the world. But, and this is the translation of the line, when the soul is in the body, einoy be'erech is not in the same level, value, so to speak, le'askil askalos ka'ele, to think these type of thoughts, she'maskil acharkach, that he can think, the soul can think later, when he's in the body, the thinking, the way of thinking, the thoughts, etc., that the soul thinks when it's in the body, is physical ideas when it's passing by Geshem. And these ideas get, so to speak, grasped in the material world. In other words, it might sound strange because of my parentheses, etc., but can the soul in the Gan Eden think about, I don't know, a hot dog? Nah, impossible. It doesn't understand what you're talking about. But you know you put ketchup in it? I don't know what you're saying. I have no idea what you're talking about. When does the soul actually can think about it? When it's in the body. Because the body actually grasps, catches the soul and takes the soul to think these kinds of material things. I want food, I want to sleep. Okay. The soul doesn't want to sleep, doesn't want to eat. Don't bother me. I want to think about God. And the body says, I don't know what you're talking about. Who is God? How do you eat it? Do you put salt on it or not? The body just wants to eat. And the soul wants to talk to about God. Whatever. Okay. Ki'im. Le'askil askalos ruchnius. When the soul is outside the body, the soul thinks very spiritual things. Like the things that people think, whatever the souls think, in paradise, etc. Behen, same thing happens with the sight. Koyach ha-re'iya, the power of seeing, sight, roye inyanim ruchnim. The soul is seeing spiritual things, whatever that means, doesn't matter. Ve'achar kach, and later, bislav shusam be'ivari aguf, when the soul gets invested in the limbs of the body, mis'alem ha'oiro atzmi. This essential light of the soul, this essential power of thinking and seeing, etc., gets concealed, ומסגל רק בחינס חיצוניוס האור, and only gets revealed the most external part of the light. שמגלה ופועל בדבר הזול. That's the part of the light that actually gets revealed and actually acts on somebody else. Imagine you explain to a small child really the definition of a bank with all the investments, and then suddenly there's like 2,000 people working in this building in the bank, and the child doesn't understand. To put money and to take out money, you need 2,000 people? What do they do with the money? They count the money. Why do you need so many employees? So the answer is, okay, wait a second. It's much complex, much more complex than that. They do many things. Okay, so when does the intellect actually act on this child? Not when you actually explain to him the real definition of a bank. It's just too much information, too complex. He doesn't get it. He doesn't even get the smallest ideas. Nothing. You speak Chinese. I don't understand what you're talking about. When you actually conceal all of that and just reveal a very simple thing, they put money and take out money, he understands. You actually acted on somebody else. The Zehu Klal Godoil, this is a great rule. Shekol Gilu Ya'etzem Hu Helem Gabi Azulas. Every revelation of the essence, it's a concealment on somebody else. He can't get it. Behelem atzmi, and a concealment of the essence, who gilu legabe azula. It's a revelation to somebody else. It's a very deep line, not complex, but very deep line. You can't really express in words your feelings to somebody else. It's impossible. You can use common words, like whatever, I love you, I like you, all those words. It's fine. They're good words. Nice. Do they really carry all the feelings? No. It's impossible. So what's going on with those words? Those words reveal the most external part of the feelings that can actually be put into words, and they reach somebody else, and this guy says, oh, thank you, I like your feelings. But they conceal the essence. At the same time, they reveal the most external part and they conceal the essence. That's what the Rebbe is saying over here. And if, for some reason, the essence would be revealed, that would automatically conceal the external parts. You would not be able to put it into words. I don't have an example of the revelation of the essence. I don't know. But it would be impossible to put it into words. Maybe, and just maybe, an example would be like when somebody does something for somebody else, because it was a situation of life and death, and actually you did it, but if you really think about it, it's crazy. You wouldn't do it. If you had to think about it, you wouldn't do it. You just did it. But you wouldn't do it in any other situation or for anybody else. And like, that's the essence. And when suddenly the guys ask you, why did you do that? It was amazing. I don't know what I did. I don't think I would do it again. I did it. Because I saw the situation, I had to do it. This was life or death, I did it. That's like the essence. Can you explain to me? No, I can't. Forget it. No reason for that. No explanation for that. Mikolze, Yuvan, Lemaila, Bekelim, Datsilus. With all of these, we can understand that Rebbe brought basically two examples. Example number one from the Sanhedrin, from the judges. Example number two from the soul. From this, we can understand up. Above, in this thing called the vessels of Atzilus, of the world of emanation, they conceal the essence of the light, and they only reveal the most external parts of this light. When they actually conceal this internal light, this essential light, as therefore megalim chitzenius or they can reveal the most external part of the light, lifal peulas and kanal benefesh, to actually affect their function, as we explained in the soul. In the example of the soul, what's the outside? Like somebody else, you say to somebody else, I love you, I hate you, whatever. So you're actually affecting somebody else, for good, for bad, doesn't matter. Who would be somebody else, quote unquote, in the case of the vessels of the world of emanations, Atzilus. What are you talking about? Somebody else is the world, the creation. Only by concealing the essence of the light of God, the infinite light of God, a creation can actually exist. Because otherwise, it would be just God. It is just God, but it's concealed. So that gives us, quote unquote, room, not to be understood physically speaking. It gives us room to exist. It is as if God would constantly be talking and talking and talking, and nobody can talk because God is talking. So he chooses to hide his speech. He's still talking because otherwise the world wouldn't exist. He's still talking, but he's concealed. And what's revealed? The result of his speech. What's the result of his speech? So look at the first chapter of Bereishis. The world. We exist. That's why it's called with this name, this vessel thing, the source of the vessels, as we explained in the previous page, in the previous class, whatever. That's called Elohim. Why? That's the idea of severity, judgment. Tzimtzum, contraction, letzamtzum ulehalim ha'or, to contract and to conceal the light. But again, which kind of light? The essence of the light, the most innermost part of the light, but not the external part of the light. And the same thing happens with all the concealments and the hidden things of every single spiritual world, whatever they are. Behem, what are these concealments? Parsois, these are classical languages of Kabbalah. Parsois, Masachim, Hamavdilim in Koloilam, I'm sorry, the curtains, and Parsois, Masachim is basically the same idea, curtains, that separate between each world. There are no curtains over there, okay? It's just an abstract thing. We're trying to talk about it somehow. So we call it a curtain. Ubeoilam Atzmoi. And within one same world, one specific world, there's a curtain in Atzilus itself, not just from Atzilus to Bria, from the first world to the second world, emanation and creation, whatever. Rather, in the world itself, there's a separation, there's a curtain between the intellect part of that world and the emotional part of that world. Look at the body of a human being. The brain carries, so to speak, the intellect, and the heart carries the emotions. So there's a neck in the middle, and the neck is shorter than the head and the body. That's the curtain, quote-unquote, between the intellectual part of a man and the emotional part of a person. There's a thing in the middle, and it's tighter, and it's smaller, and it's not so easy to go from the head to the heart. And there's an interruption, there is a curtain between the world of emanations and the world of creations. And in the second world, the world of creation, there's also many, many curtains, full of curtains over there. I'm sorry, same thing happens within all these worlds, the worlds of creation and formation, information and action, whatever they mean, doesn't matter. And within the same worlds, there's also other concealments and curtains, etc. They are called Mishem Elohim. Everything, all of this comes from the world, name Elohim. That's the source of any kind of concealment. Bechol Agiluim, on the other hand, all the revelations, Sheboilom, Isem Mishem Avay, in the worlds, they come from the other name of God, Shem Avay. The name of four letters, etc. Ulefi anal, according to all the things we explained, are beis shmois avaye velekim emafachim zemide. These two names, avaye and elekim, the source of lights and the source of concealments, they are complete opposites. If you go back to the first page of the Maimar, he brought the Zohar, and the Zohar says, avaye velekim kulechat. Oh, these two names, one thing. Very nice, the Zohar is very interesting. It's crazy. It's not one thing. It's opposite things. He just, very amply explained it. One of them is the source of revelation, and the other one is the source of concealment. How can come the Zohar and say, it's all one? What do you mean it's all one? It's not. Chulei, etc. Point. Up to here comes basically the question. Now he's going to start the answer. Achainyanu. The idea is like this. As I mentioned before, this is a classical verse from Eoiv, quoted in Hasidus. Mi vesaria hazeleka. From my flesh, I will perceive godliness. Thief. That's what it's written. Parenthesis, the Rebbe brings. Because it's written, let's make a man to our image, to our shape, whatever. That means, the man is done in at the image of above. Therefore, that's why from the powers of the soul, we can understand how it works above, by God. Close parenthesis. Now, in the powers of the soul, you also have these two things, basically. The power of revelation and the power of limitation and concealment. Like the power of the soul in the intellect to think ideas. This power of thinking, it's a projection from the power of thinking, koyach maskil, in the soul. Koyach yuli al kol mine giluim sichlios. This is a classical Greek word, actually, brought by the Ramban also. It's a classical word, and the Rambam also brings this. It's a yuli. There's no translation for yuli. Yuli means like a transcendent general thing from where everything gets projected. That's called koyach hayuli, the general power, so to speak, al kol mine giluim sichlius, that from there come all kinds of intellectual revelations. Of course, each person has a different soul, and each person has a different koyach hayuli. There's one smarter one, a less smarter one, etc., etc. And from here we can also understand something very simple. At least in South America, it's a subject. Maybe in Europe it's not so much, but when children don't get the proper food and the proper care when they're really small, really young children, even when they grow, I'm sorry, but the brain is underdeveloped and they're not going to be able to be great thinkers. Does it mean, like when there's poverty, etc., etc., that generates people, I'm sorry to say it like that, but without the capacity of really thinking deep? It's a reality. Like it or not. So does it mean that their soul is actually wrong? There's something wrong with them? No. Maybe one of those poor boys somewhere in the middle of nowhere was the next Einstein. He has the power of being that. I'm so sorry. They didn't give the proper food, the proper care when he was really young, and his brain is underdeveloped. And that's it. Nothing you can do about it. So basically, not that the Rebbe is saying this, but basically that's a proof of what the Rebbe is saying. There's a general power of thinking. From that general power, when this power gets invested in the brain, like in the gray matter in the head, that generates all kinds of thinkings. Yeah, very nice. You might have a tremendous power of thinking, but your brain is underdeveloped. I'm sorry, you're not going to reach great heights. It's not your fault. I know that. Basically, so to speak, nobody's fault. Yeah, okay. But that's it. You're doomed. No great thinking over here. There might be exceptions. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. But basically, that's the idea. She'akol nimshach me'akoyach ha'maskil ki yadua. Every single thought that a person thinks is a projection from his power of thinking. Arei yesh bo koyach ha'gilui. Here we see from here, there's a power of revelation. Shulegalus kol gilui seichel pishakmus be'eze davar muskar. Is the power of revealing any kind of revelation, any kind of wisdom, on any kind of subject. But this same power has a power of limitation. Le'agbil kol dvar seichel, to limit every single thought, every single idea, like you go to a meeting and you say, okay, today we're going to talk about physics. And somebody says, I like hamburgers. Very nice. But we're not talking about this today. Maybe in the next meeting we talk about it, but not now. So what are you doing? You're actually opening, so to speak, a door to think very deep things, et cetera, about one subject. But at the same time, you're saying, we're not going to talk about a different subject. We're not thinking about something else. Even if it's a great thing to think about, maybe tomorrow, but not now. So you have two powers in the intellect. A power of revelation. Let's talk about this. Let's think about this. Brainstorming, et cetera, et cetera. And a power of concealment. No. Your thought is out of place, out of time, not now. Ukiyadua, as it's known, the called seichelus vara, any intellect, any logic, beechrech shei gvulis pashtusa. Forcedly, it has to have a limit. How far can it go? Diat potava velsulai. You're going to go up to here, not more. Like children do this so often. Like when you say something, like this, we're going to do it like this. So the child asks, why? We answer, why? And the child asks, why? And you answer again, why? The second thing, that why? The third thing, that why? Okay, wait a second. Let's stop. Why? Because I have to eat, otherwise I die. Why? Because God created me like that. What do you want from me? That's it. Stop. You can't go, because the atoms, and why? Because the protons, and why? Oh, I don't know. Stop. There's a limit. Pashet midai. And if you're going to actually project specific logic more than the necessary, amitis, you're going actually to turn out, aklaton is like something crooked. You're going to go in a crooked way, and it's not going to be true. It's not going to be true. Like, are you really eating? Because the quantums within the atom generate, I don't know what? I'm eating because I'm hungry. What do you want? I'm hungry. I eat. The atoms of your body and the essence of, oh, yeah, I can't think like that. And the same thing happens when you put together many logics, when you have a number of logics that actually tend to allow a certain things, or logics that tend to forbid a certain things. When the logics are not limited, you're never going to end with a verdict to say, this is the law. It's impossible. Ve'ainu, that's what it means to actually reach a verdict. That's a common expression in the Talmud. Actually, let's learn Torah. La'suke shmatza. La'suke means to learn deeply. Shmatza means the words of this guy, this rabbi, the other rabbi, Talmud, etc., etc. Aliva de hilchasa. In order to reach a conclusion, I need to know if this is allowed or not. No, I mean, you start talking and talking and writing a whole book. Wait a second. I need to know right now, is this allowed or not? Stop writing books. Answer me the question. Iepshar, this kind of learning, it's impossible. Ki im kasher yu asvaras megbales. Only is possible when the logics have a limit. Up to here. And then when you put a limit to it, you see more strength in this logic than in that other logic, and you end up saying, okay, this is the law. Then that's when you're going to reach, when you put a limit into it, that's when you're going to reach the true of the thing, the true of the matter, and you're going to make a verdict. And the verdict is, this is allowed, this is forbidden, etc. But there has to be a limit. So again, we're seeing these two things. There has to be a revelation, talk about it, think about it, brainstorm, blah, blah, blah. But there has to be a limit regarding this subject or up to here. Wait a second, we're not going to go deeper into this because it's impossible to reach a conclusion.